Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. It's good to see you all here. Hope that you're well. I actually find that it's warmer this morning in the church than it is in my house. Surprising. Shocking. Well, I've had an interesting week, full of many emotions. I don't know whether anyone's had a similar one. Highs and lows, ups and downs. Maybe it's just me. I was wondering, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, if anyone has been cross, angry, upset this week at all. I've felt some of these emotions. Oh, there is a hand. Okay. Wonderful. And, oh, there's two hands. Okay, yeah, well, three. That would be me. And yet most of us have had some feelings of anger at some point, even if they're just fleeting. But some of us might have been a little bit more angry at times. I want to ask you the question, what is it that makes you most angry? What things make you really cross? I'll give you a couple of minutes. Just, you know, think or chat or ask someone next to you. Find out. Just so you don't irritate anyone during the service, you know. What makes you angry? Some of you are having a really good conversation. I can see some actions. I wasn't talking violence necessarily. Just what things evoke anger. Okay. If we just... I'm a bit worried it might turn into violence, so let's just, you know, settle with the... Has anyone got anything they would share with us? Don't have to. Oh, yes, hands straight up, yes. No? No, shy. Yes, David. Oh, yes. Frustrating. Saying you're going to do something, then not turning up or not doing it, yes. Hannah, oh. Hannah, you're a wonderful, lovely girl. I just want to reaffirm. But sometimes we all irritate each other, don't we? We grind on each other sometimes. Yes? Running, cycling with headphones, yeah. Not looking where they're going, yes. Oh, yes. Politicians blaming previous governments for things all the time. Standard answer, yes. Yes, when your mum says it's time to come in, but you're still playing. Oh, how dare she? Yes. Oh, Hannah, dare I ask? When your sister misbehaves. You see, that's it. It's out of the way now. You've both got it out. Yes, we all irritate each other at times, don't we? Well, we all do get angry about different things. And actually, the thing that makes us angry the most, as has been shown here, is other people. Things that other people do or don't do that irritate us. Now, in the Bible, Paul says this. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And then a bit later on, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to one another. I know you're already starting the actions because we're going to sing the song. Just forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we're going to start by singing that song. It's a song from Holiday Club that many of you all know. And fortunately, John Hardwick appears on the screen doing the actions. However, I do need a little bit of help because I need someone to do my shaking hands because it goes like this. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other. Forgive each other. Just as in Christ, God forgave you.
I don't know the entrance, hey?
Oh, brilliant. Great. Oh, come on then. Let's form a line. Okay. So we start off by crossing hands and holding. And we go, be kind and compassionate to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And then there's a bit about the Bible, and then we will wave our fingers. But, you know, that's fine. So let's all stand together and sing this song. We share the peace with each other. We welcome each other. We love each other because God has loved us. In the Bible, in the Psalms, it said this: God is so good, so kind, and he always forgives me. He loves me like a father loves his child. For all of this, I say thank you, God. And so we love each other. So let's stand together and sing a hymn where we're going to take up our offering this morning during this hymn. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Let's stand and sing. That's why we need singers. But God... but God hears our voices and he loves our voices. And it's a good job, isn't it? Father God, we thank you that we can worship you this morning. And we thank you that we can worship you with our hearts, with our bodies, with our voices. And also that it doesn't matter whether we go wrong, whether we get everything right. It doesn't matter now as we sing. And it doesn't matter in our lives. That if we come to you, you forgive us. You renew us, you refresh us. And you enable us to get up and start again. We thank you, Lord, that you are a great and a compassionate God. That you are slow to anger. That you have great mercy. And we ask that as we stand before you, you would bathe us in your love and your mercy this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our reading this morning is from the book of James, a book which we studied a little while ago, but we haven't looked at for some time. And we're continuing our series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We're on to patience. I'm going to start reading from James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessings those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. When I was younger, the computers started to come in, home computers. And my cousin got hold of a BBC computer, which was so very exciting because we'd had a ZX81, which... I don't know, it didn't really do anything, it seemed. But the BBC computer, well, this computer, most importantly of all, had games. And they were good games. And so I used to go to my cousin, who lived up in Yorkshire, and to my shame, the first thing I'd do when I walked in the house was, have you got the computer on? And we'd play a game. But, you know, it wasn't quite as simple as that, because the games were loaded by tapes. I don't know whether, you know, you'd put the tape in and start it off, and then you'd have to put in answers to lots of questions and press the right buttons, and then it would load for 5, 10, 15 minutes, and you'd watch, hoping the tape would keep going round, and just as you would get into the point when the game would load, it would come up, error, you need to load again. And we'd do this for what seemed like hours, waiting for a game to load, waiting to play Felix in the Factory or Chucky Egg, one of those very exciting games. We did it because that's what you did. In the 1980s, that's what you did if you wanted to play a game on the BBC computer. You waited for it to load. And now I'm not saying that we didn't get frustrated at times and that at times we didn't decide actually we were going to do something else because this just wasn't working today. But what I'm saying is that back then when I was 10 and 11, if you wanted to play a good game on the computer, you would wait for it to load. Waiting was part of playing. I remember we used to go around to my friend's house, friends Sarah and Jackie, and we'd play with them most of the afternoons. And then we'd want to watch a bit of telly, a little bit of Blue Peter. But their television was quite an old television, and so it took a bit of time to warm up. So we had to remember to go into the lounge and switch it on about 10 minutes before we wanted to watch the programme. And then we'd wait, as firstly the sound would start to filter through, and then we'd get a bit of a blurry picture, and then it would be all green, and then it would be going round and round and round, and eventually it would right itself, and we'd be able to watch Blue Peter. And it's fair to say we spent a lot of our waiting time jumping around on the sofas and playing games, but you know, we waited. Sometimes we got frustrated because we had to watch Blue Peter in various shades of green, but most of the time we got there. Waiting was the accepted norm if you wanted something to happen. My sister and I would sometimes watch the test card girl on the BBC. You know her with the board and the monkey? Waiting for the next programme to start. I'm sure we could have done many other things, but we would sit and watch. We were waiting because that's what we did. In a way, we practiced patience. Not very well a lot of the time, but we had to try because things weren't always immediate. This was our world. This was what we grew up in. Of course, now things are very, very different, and I find myself being more and more impatient with things. Because waiting is generally at a minimum. At least that's what we're trying to achieve in our society. And therefore, patience is often at a minimum as well. Now, for instance, if we have to wait more than a few seconds to get onto the internet, we are totally frustrated, mumbling about how computers never work when we need them to work. You know, if we're unable to buy what we want in the shops, first of all, we're a little bit irritated with ourselves that we've actually gone to the shops in the first place, and then we come home and we buy what we want on the internet, because it's much easier and it's much quicker. If we're driving behind a tractor or a lorry on the way home, we're just itching to get past. And we get past as quick as we can, because we know everyone else behind us will want to get past, and we also need to get on to do things. And if we're standing in line, waiting to get money out of the hole in the wall at the bank, and someone's checking their balance and getting a receipt, it's not long before we're tapping our foot, we're looking at our watch, we're sighing, we're, oh, come on, why do they have to do this? Why can't they just get money? We get frustrated. Our society, our culture, and even our world, to a certain extent, expects things now. We're not used to waiting. We're not practiced impatience. We don't like to wait. We don't like to be held up. We don't like to tolerate problems and difficulties because we need to get on. If we want something or need something or desire change, we want it now. We want it yesterday. We want it as soon as it can happen. Patience, we like to tell our children, or I do at the moment, is a virtue. Patience, James, is a virtue. But ironically, for many of us, it's somewhere out of our grasp. We can't quite practice it ourselves. Or we may try to exhibit patience for a while, but when we can bear it no longer, our frustration just bursts out in a moment of anger. By the way, I found that the school run is a wonderful environment for this experience. If you've not known frustration and anger before, just try it. And yet, if we are to be people who live our lives for God, if we are to be those who seek to be more like Jesus, if we're to stand out and be different, opening the doorway to a new way of life, we're told that patience is something we need to practice. And not just in isolated moments where we congratulate ourselves. Actually, I was very patient there. That was really good. But we're told that we need to develop it as a characteristic of who we are. We are patient people, despite all the things that are happening around us. It needs to be a fruit which grows and develops. As James says in this passage, the one that I just read, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Be patient, not just today or tomorrow, not just with that person or in a specific situation, but be patient throughout your lives until God arrives. Now, you know, this must have been particularly hard for the Jewish Christians who this letter was being written to. Because these early Christians in these letters were faced with a great deal of persecution. Persecution which began when Stephen was stoned to death, watched by Saul in the book of Acts, and which continued throughout the Christian world as newly converted Christians were put under fear of persecution as they struggled to follow God and to manage these new beliefs. And so these people in the book of James weren't just impatient because life was a bit slow or people were irritating them. They were impatient because life was terrible. They were being persecuted for their faith. And so life was really hard and they wanted it to change. And they wanted it to change now. And not only that, these young Christians, some of them were also very poor. They were struggling to make ends meet. They were held down by the rich who were referred to in the previous passage of the book. They were kept in place by those who had money and influence. So they were under constant threat of not only starvation, but extinction, if you like, of their Christian surroundings. And so understandably, they were impatient for God to act. They wanted something to happen. And they wanted it to happen now. And so James writes to them, first of all, to encourage and challenge them to live as Jesus desires them to live. But then concluding by saying, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Which, contrary to how it might seem, doesn't mean sit around, don't do anything, just sit back and wait. But rather, act patiently. Perhaps a better description or better words to use would be slightly more old-fashioned words like forbearance or long-suffering. You know, not just sitting around twiddling your thumbs, but rather keeping going on the path you've started, keeping going on the belief that you have, despite the problems around. If you like, continuing to trust God, continuing to live in hope, continuing to step out in faith despite these pressures from all sides. Being like the farmer, if you like, says James, who having planted the seed, patiently then trusts the rains to come and patiently hopes for the crops to grow. Continuing to live, but also being patient, waiting for that time when everything will be all right. And then as an example of patience in the face of suffering, James points to the prophets. The prophets, people who spoke out for God but who were often persecuted for it. People who were laughed at, people who were exiled, people who were chased away. Some of them even lost everything. But despite this, they patiently continued to speak the love of God to those around. And then there's also the example of Job. Says James, Job, who persevered despite the greatest of problems. The man who literally had everything taken away from him. And then was ridiculed by his friends and by his wife because he continued to believe in God. Oh, he shouted and he questioned and he demanded and he almost ordered God to come and answer for what had happened to him. But never once did Job turn his back on God. Instead, he patiently kept trusting that one day everything would be all right. So James says to these people in this book, take these examples, the prophets and Job, these examples of people who patiently follow God, because this is how you're to live in the face of suffering. This is how to be patient as you seek to follow God. This is how God's compassion and mercy are seen in the most difficult of situations. Don't grumble against one another, he says. Don't get angry with one another. Don't let pressure get to you. Don't get frustrated. Instead, be patient. Let this be the fruit of your lives before God. And you know, this is really important for us today, because although we're not under extreme persecution here in this country, and although we're not held down by those who are rich or an immediate threat for our lives every day, we do live in a society where patience is at a premium, where there is a lot of pressure on every single one of us. We face temptation daily to become angry with those around us because we are busy and we are occupied and we need to fit things in. You know, there's a desire to take life into our own hands on a daily basis to make it better, because that's what we want it to be like. And we can become impatient with those around us so very quickly. And most of all, we live in a society where waiting, especially waiting for God, can be seen as a waste of valuable time when we could be doing something else. And yet, in the midst of all this pressure, we are called to be people of patience. Not to sit around in a holy huddle, away from the world, having our own little nice time, but instead to live out in the world patiently, to exhibit the fruit of patience, so that despite the pressures and the circumstances and the problems and the people who are all around us, we continue to trust God for things. We continue to hope that God can work in our situation and make it better. We continue to have faith that God will make things right. We continue to speak the love of God patiently in a world that is desperately trying to solve every single problem itself. We're called to be patient, so that instead of becoming impatient with our children when they fail to do what we want them to do when we want them to do it, or flying off the handle with those around us because things at work are really difficult, or becoming angry when things are not as we would like them to be, we seek to be patient. Because it's only when we're patient, it's only when we trust God in the middle of difficult situations, it's only when we hope that God can turn problems around, it's only when we continue to speak the love of God in tough times, that people will be able to see that in the middle of a busy, impatient, preoccupied world, we have a God who is full of compassion and mercy. And one day, he will make everything right. Do you know, last year, I'm getting my years mixed up now, went to Breathe. Was it this year? Last year. Went to the Breathe conference in Cambridge. And there was a woman speaking at that called Jo Gambi. She was, I don't know whether anyone's heard of her, she's a lady who, she had a well-paid job and her husband had a well-paid job, and then her husband was diagnosed with cancer soon after they got married. He was diagnosed with it twice. He had it once and then had it again. And they decided to stop doing what they were doing, to stop being on the grind and doing all this, and to go and achieve some things they'd always wanted to achieve. And they decided to climb the highest mountains in all 7 continents together. And they raised money for cancer research and different charities. And they went and did it. And they also, I think, did the North and South Pole, if I'm correct, as well. And they did all these things. And she talked about how it was really, really tough. And how through all the difficulties of being in the highest peaks in the world, she's learned how to deal with the difficulties of life as well when she's back down on the normal level. But then when they got back, they had 2 sons. And one of their sons was born with an extreme neurological disorder, which means that a lot of the time she spends in hospital. She says each day is made up of hospital visits, doctor's visits, caring for him, making sure he gets things, as well as going out and speaking at conferences, looking after her husband, trying to work out how everything else fits, and her other son, and giving him the care and attention he needs. She says sometimes she's brought to the edge of it and she feels she just cannot cope, but she keeps going. Each day, she practices patience. I'm sure, like Job, she cries out to God and demands answers as to why and what is happening. But each day she practices patience because she knows there is a God she can trust. She knows there is a God she can have faith in. And most of all, she has the hope that one day everything will be right. In fact, she has a saying which I believe was used in the film Best Marigold Hotel, if you've seen that. And it's this: everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end. And, you know, we are called to be people who show the fruit of patience in our lives every single day. And that is hard. That is really hard. And I have to say, this week has been a killer for me. I've been up and down. Patience? I'm not worthy to speak about it. It's hard. But, you know, if we believe we have a God who is full of compassion and mercy, who in the end will make all things right, then our patience with those around us will make a difference, because it will allow God to work in a world that leaves very little room for him to do so. Our patience, if you like, will give God the opportunity to show his compassion and mercy and love, until one day everything will be all right. Let's pray together. As we sit quietly, maybe we're thinking about our lives this week, today, this morning. Times we might have responded with little patience or acted with little patience. Maybe we're thinking of situations where we desperately need to be patient and we're struggling. Maybe we're thinking of those we've hurt with our impatience. The times that we've stopped people from growing or stopped people from receiving love because we've acted angrily or snapped or been irritated. Just spend a few moments in quiet before God, offering our lives to him. And as we sit in quiet before God, we're going to raise him up as the one who is to be trusted, the one who holds hope, the one who we want to put our faith in once more. We're going to sing "We Bow Down and Confess," just as we remain in a time of prayer. We're going to sing our final hymn together this morning. And if you want to talk or pray about any of the things that we talk about up here, then please do come and chat to me. Although, with patience, you know, it might not be me you need to talk to. But we could work it out together. We could pray about it together. But let's stand and sing our final hymn this morning. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee. I'm hoping I've got the right tune with Michael. Yes, let's stand together and sing. So as we go from here, may we seek to be people of patience, not just up into the door, but out into the street and for the rest of the week and onwards. And may God help us to do it. Amen.